You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
On the 29th of June 1936, Eddie Koiki Mabo was born on the island of Mara, also known as Murray Island, in the Torres Strait. After moving to Townsville in 1959, he married Australian-born South Sea Islander Bonita Nihau, and they had 10 children. It was there, while involved in the 1967 referendum campaign, that historian Henry Reynolds and his wife Margaret became friends with the Mabos.
He was a very interesting person to talk to because his experience of growing up, you know, on the Torres Strait was very different, obviously, from our experience, but also very different from the experience of mainland Aborigines, because the islanders had a quite different experience with contact with the Europeans, and their culture was particularly... from the eastern Torres Strait, their culture was much more Papuan.
Professor Reynolds says given Torres Strait Islanders had little to no contact with Europeans, their cultural life remained much the same after colonization. He says they ran their own affairs, including having their own system of land ownership.
They didn't own the land collectively. They had their own family individual plot, and the boundaries were known. And if there were disputes over, you know, title or boundaries or inheritance, then they had their own laws to sort them out.
Professor Reynolds says Mabo would often speak nostalgically about his family's land on the island of Mara. And it soon became clear to him that Mabo wasn't aware the Meriam people had no property rights over the land under British Australian law.
Eventually, I thought, and I talked to one of my colleagues, Noel Luce, and we decided we had to tell him. So one of our lunches, I said, "Eddie, you do realise that you don't own your land. It's all Crown land." And he was astonished and aghast.
Professor Reynolds says while he encouraged Mabo in the following days to launch a legal challenge, the real turning point came in 1981 when Mabo met some lawyers at a land rights conference at James Cook University who had experience in native title cases in Canada and New Zealand.
He realised these were the people who could really help him, particularly Brian Key and Cohen, and they realised this was the perfect case. I mean, there couldn't have been a better case to take to the High Court. Other cases might have failed. Within a few weeks of that conference, Eddie was on the phone to one of the leading silks in Melbourne, Ron Caston, and that's where the case began.
On May the 20th, 1982, Mabo and fellow Ma Islanders, Reverend David Passy, Seluya Mapo Sally, Sam Passy and James Rice, began a legal claim for ownership of the island of Ma. It took two legal battles before the High Court of Australia delivered a 6-1 ruling in favour of Mabo and the other plaintiffs on the June the 3rd, 1993. Mabo sadly never got to hear the outcome of the case, dying of cancer just 5 months before the court's ruling. Professor Reynolds says the Mabo decision is perhaps the most important legal judgment made in Australian history.
Basically, from 1788 to 1992, the law was that the Aborigines were not in possession of their land, therefore they had no legal right to it. You know, the government might give them some, but it wasn't theirs in the first place. And the judges took the Mabo case not to make a decision just about Murray Island, which, as I say, was distinctive with its own system of land ownership, but decided to make this a case about the whole colonisation of Australia.
The landmark decision gave rise to federal native title legislation in 1993. Jamie Law is a Gundij Mara Jabwarung man and CEO of the National Native Title Council.
We've still got a way to go to kind of progress native title claims within Australia, but I guess, you know, as far as agreement making For the last 30 odd years, there hasn't been a whole lot of progress, you would say, if you look at it from that kind of the kind of pessimistic kind of point of view.
He says Indigenous rights haven't yet been fully recognised in Australia.
So you could say that we're about, you know, 60% there to getting, and we're 30 years in. So, you know, it's not a quick process, but to get that resolved over the next decade is, I think, it's really important to be able to move on as a country.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.